Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour. Time for the Word of Broadcast, Words of Wisdom broadcast. And as always, it's indeed an honor and a privilege to come before God's people. For this is truly a day that God has made, and we all should rejoice and be glad in it. Before I start the lesson, I'm going to play a song that I think is very appropriate for the lesson tonight. I pray that each and every one of you had time to read the scriptures. And we know that it's talking about a potter and his clay. So I found a song that I think is real appropriate. I'm going to play it at this time, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to get into the lesson. I pray that each and every one of you had a wonderful week, and God delivered, and God healed, and God gave a message, and God touched you in a way you wanted to be touched, and God is giving you patience, and God is orchestrating everything in your life for you. But you have to realize it. So I'm going to play this song, and once it's over, we're going to come back and pray, go to the throne of grace, and then we'll go with the lesson. And that was stop by the potter's house because the potter wants to put you back together again. At this time, as always, we always go to the throne of grace for prayer. And I see that Madison, my grandson that many of you are familiar with, is on the line, and I'm allow him to pray. Madison goes to a new school, so he come home from school and go straight to his mother's house, so I don't have him like I used to on Wednesday nights and Mondays nights. But he decided that he would call tonight, and I just say thank God. So I want y'all to be prayerful and keep this in mind. Prayer with this young man and not just him. After seeing what has happened in the last 2 days, two boys, black boys, got killed on the street. You know, and the stories is coming out all kind of ways. Because you know when someone tell a story, they tell it to best fit their needs. That's with mostly everybody, you, I, everybody. But the point is, we have to pray for our children. And we have to pray for the police that they could get their minds right and understand that lives do matter. You know, sometimes you feel like you don't want to pray as if there's nothing to pray for. There are so many things to pray for in this perverted world. There's something on every side. There's something with every situation. There's something with every event. There's something with everything that there is in this world. God say we live in the world, but we not of the world. And we have to be about kingdom living. So I'm going to open a mic for Madison. Madison, are you on the air?
Yes, ma'am.
And do you want to pray tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you could go ahead and pray.
God, thank you for this beautiful Wednesday and allowing me to not have a lot of homework to come on the program. I don't have to study as much for the new test. That I can pray with everybody that's on the program and that they have the privileges to listen to the program and they know what they're listening to instead of just wandering around the internet. And they came here for you, God. So please let them know that you're watching over them. And let them just feel safe every single day and don't have to worry about anything because they know that you're right there with them, God. And God, thank you for waking all of us up that's on the Blog Talk Radio station right now and is listening. Thank you, God, for allowing us to have a good day mostly and allowing us to do good into our future. And that everybody just think about you every single day. And remember that you're with us, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, Madison. You was on your telephone?
Yes, ma'am.
You had the speaker on?
Yes, ma'am.
Because it wasn't coming through clear. So if you call next Wednesday, don't put your speaker on. Talk in the phone.
Okay.
You have anything else you would like to say?
No.
All right, you be blessed, and if you can, listen to some more of the program. I know you have your homework to do. You be blessed, okay? Thank you.
You're welcome.
And that was Madison. Our today's lesson is the potter and his clay. It's coming from Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, the 1st through the 6th verse. But I ask you guys to read the whole entire 18th chapter of Jeremiah so you could see how God worked in and through him. I had a caller, you know, I always ask if you guys want to make a request for the lesson. And one of the callers asked that I speak on miracles. And on next week, you guys could study all during the week to see to look at miracles because the lesson next week will be on miracles. And I thank that caller for, you know, suggesting a subject. And that's what the lesson will be next week. So today is the potter and his clay, Jeremiah 18:1-6. As always, I give a background. I want you to know that Jeremiah is the author of this book, and he was a prophet that lived in the final days of the crumbling nation of Israel. Israel was going down, and God used Jeremiah to give them a message not only of wrath and reproach, but it was also a message of hope. You see, no doubt Jeremiah, who was only 18 years old when God called him, had great inner turmoil over the face of his people, and he begged them to listen. Jeremiah was still a young man when the spirit of prophecy came upon him. The Lord called Jeremiah, and you could see it in Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah 1, verses 4 and 5. And that scripture read, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me." This is Jeremiah saying. The spirit of the Lord came on him, and he told him that was the fourth verse. And then the fifth verse, he said, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." You see, plenty of times y'all hear me always say everything was ordained before the foundation of the world, and God knew you before you were you, and nothing can take God by surprise that's happening in your life, and God is orchestrating and allowing everything in our lives to happen. The scripture says that. I don't make that up, and that's why I put this scripture. God told Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." That's God speaking. He's telling Jeremiah, you know, this is no accident. You know, so some people, as always, will say, "Why Jeremiah?" And I'll have to tell you today, why not Jeremiah? And we have to remember, we don't pick and choose. God do the picking, and God do the choosing, and God gives the assignment, and God provide the provisions. Remember that. You see, he was fearful to accept such responsibility. Jeremiah said, "I'm only a boy," but God said to him, "Say not, I am a boy, for you shall go to all that I shall send you. And whatever I command you to speak, you shall speak. Be not afraid of them, because I am with you to deliver you." That's what God told him right after the fourth and fifth verse in Jeremiah when he gave him the call. But you see, from that moment on, Jeremiah lost all fear and delivered his sad prophecies and warning without regards of the kings and their strong men that was seek and go after him to hurt him. You see, he is known as a weeping prophet. Y'all knew that? Because he cried tears of sadness, not only because he knew what was about to happen. You see, when God give a prophecy to a prophet, the prophet know when and what's going to happen. And then God tell him to speak it to his people. But he was the weeping prophet, not only because he knew what was about to happen, because no matter how hard he tried, the people would not listen. You know, sometimes people are telling me, you know, "I'm praying for such and such or this person or that person." And I've told them several times over and over, should I keep telling them something or should I, you know, don't do it again? But, you know, we always should share the word of God. You don't know what time, which time it may connect. The people would not listen. Therefore, he found no human comfort. And watch this. God had forbidden him to marry or to have children. You will find that in Jeremiah 16:2. And his friends had turned their back on him. So along with the burden of the knowledge of the impeding justice, he must also have felt very lonely. You see, God knew that this was the best course for Jeremiah. See, because through his loneliness and isolation, Jeremiah became the doubt God. I guess he got tired. But you see, God was not through with him yet. Jeremiah preached for 40 years, and not once did he see any real success in changing or softening the hearts and the mind of his stubborn, idolatrous people. You know, that's got to be hard. You know, no matter how many times you tell somebody Jesus is the way, until they want to accept it, they'll keep doing what they're doing. We have so many people started out and stopped. We have some people never came into the fold. But the Bible teaches us that it is our duty and our responsibility to share the word of God. Now, in your sharing the word of God, just like Jeremiah, he couldn't make them listen. He couldn't soften. They didn't soften their hearts. But it still was his job to bring the message that God has given him to the people. And we have the same responsibility. You see, what we learn from the life of Jeremiah is the comfort of knowing that, like every believer, even great prophets of God can experience rejection, depression, discouragement in their walk with God. Nobody's exempt, and we're human. Don't beat up on yourself when you feel that way. You know, just pick yourself up and keep it moving. This is a normal part of growing spiritually, because our sinful nature fights with our spiritual nature, and there's a war going on, and it won't end until Jesus come back again. So until then, do what God has assigned for you to do. And remember this, everybody don't have the same assignment. I wanted to talk tonight about a potter and his clay. I want you to know that it's an analogy. One of the most powerful analogies in the Bible regarding our transformation and sanctification in the Lord has to be the analogy of the potter and the clay. You see, God is illustrating his sovereignty. And y'all know sovereignty means he's the one. He created. He put everything in place. He have a master plan. He made plan B and plan C and plan D, and he's got it all under his control. That's his sovereignty. Nobody can stand up and match up with God, no matter who you are, no matter what you did, no matter what you're doing, no matter how you do it. God stands alone. And God don't have to go in counsel with nobody when he get ready to do what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want, because he is God. That's what sovereignty means. But God is illustrating his sovereignty over and in the lives of his people. The Bible said that God is the potter and we are the clay. It is up to God to mold, transform, sanctify us as we journey through this earthly life. But we must allow him. Whenever God gives us a specific analogy in the Bible, this means that we have to seek into the revelation of that analogy in order to pick up what he's trying to tell us. You see, if we do, then we will see exactly what God is trying to tell us in reference to the analogy itself. You see, in other words, we have to find exactly, for this analogy, we have to find exactly how pottery is made if we want to fully understand what God is trying to tell us. God is the potter, and we are the clay. So I'm going to read you the printed scriptures and the scriptures that I ask you to read, and we'll go further into it. So I'm in Jeremiah, for those who have their Bibles. I'm in Jeremiah 18:1-6. And the scripture reads, Jeremiah 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. Now, Jeremiah had been prophesizing, and God was just fixing to give him another one. But before he decided to give him, you know, the next assignment and things like that, he said, I need to just take a break. He said, so Jeremiah, you go on down to the potter's house. See, so 18 said, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from God saying, arise and go down to the potter house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. He said, go over there. I'm going to give you a lesson today, but I want to do it with illustration. And then Jeremiah said, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on a wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand, in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Jeremiah went there, and the potter was doing his thing with the clay. And you know, Jeremiah was looking how the potter was working with the clay. And the analogy was that God was gonna is our potter, and we have to learn how to be clay. And Jeremiah got a glimpse at everything that the potter was doing with the clay. And you see, God wanted Jeremiah to understand the lesson that he was about to teach him, so he sent him to the potter's house to see what the potter do with clay. The first thing the potter does is place the clay on the wheel. Once we accept Christ as our Savior, we then become his children and got in position to be placed on the wheel. So that's how you get on the wheel, you see. The molding and the shaping begin to get us into our intended purpose, and God expected in. I pray that everybody have some recollection of sorts about a potter and what he do with clay. You know, one thing I could show you, tell you something that could be visual for those who saw the movie, I can't even think of the name of the movie. But the movie where the man and the lady was making pottery, and her husband was there, and of course he got killed, and after he died, there was good spirits come for you, and there was bad spirits come for you. And she was working with the clay, and she was molding and shaping and pouring water on it, just to give you an illustration. You see, the potter then adds water into it in order to make it flexible and adaptable and soft enough for him to be able to accurately use it. If there is not enough water in the clay will remain too hard and rigid for use. Now, you see, the word water in the Bible is symbolic to the word of God. In other words, the word of God is like water to our soul. Just like our physical bodies need water in order to be able to live and survive in this world, our souls need God's word flowing in and through us in order to feed us on the inside. What this is telling us that is God cannot even begin the sanctification process, which is to mold and transfer us in the life, in this life, unless we are first willing to do our part. Come on now. Some people are on the wheel. They don't want to read. They don't want to study. They pick up a little bit here and a little bit there, but it's not enough. You have to get to a point to realize that the Word of God is everything. The Word of God is what helps you to deal with your faith. The Word of God is what gives you patience. The Word of God is what have you to stand tall right now in this perverse world. The Word of God is what helps you when everything done falling apart. It's the Word of God. So you see, the clay is on the wheel, and it takes water to be flexible and adaptable and humble. You know, you might be on the wheel, but you don't have much word, which would represent water in this analogy. So you need to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord by studying the Word of God. You see, the Word is necessary in the molding process. And the more you know, the more you grow. You know, I pray that each and everyone, you know, get serious about the Word of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is bringing a word to our mind, but he can only put out what you have put in. You know, plenty of times I talk to people and I'd be so amazed at the simplest things that they don't know. I'm not saying it in a bad way because, you know, I welcome people where they are and try to give them information. And then you got to remember the Holy Ghost give illumination and revelation to get them where they need to be. But there are some people who do not read the Word of God. And you're really hurting yourself, because the Word of God is the essence of all life. It's the beginning and the end. It's the will of God for your life. It's the promises of God for you. How could you go to get a promise from God? You could want something from God and you don't even know if it's in his will. So you don't ask. And if you act sometime, you act the wrong way. God is giving us everything we need to live a righteous life and for us to have the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit moving in our lives. But you got to put in the work. And you can't work something you don't know. Why, you know, people who don't read the Word of God, every time they get in a bind, every time they need something from God, they want to call on his name. And yet they could think that not reading the Bible and not doing the things that God is saying, and it's just all right. But I want to tell you, once there's enough water in the clay, and the clay is soft enough and ready to be worked, then the potter places it in the center of the wheel. However, if the piece of clay is not properly centered, the potter will not be able to work with it. What's that saying? God is saying, I'm the potter. And here we see that the clay ain't doing no work. God said, I got this. I'm going to do it. I'm going to work it out. I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. I'm going to take all your enemies and make them your footstool. I'm going to teach you how to be the lender, not the borrower. See, the potter does the work. But you see, we have to be in position to receive all that God has for us. Just like the potter cannot mold the piece of clay into the pieces of pottery that he's trying to make unless it is properly centered in the middle of the wheel. In the same way, the Lord cannot begin to properly work with us in this life unless we are perfectly centered in him by giving total surrender to him. Jesus has to become both your Lord and Savior. Plenty of people, you know, so glad that Jesus is their Savior, but have you ever made him your Lord? You see, it's not our will, but thy will. You see, we have to get to a place and get committed and say, it's your all for his all. You see, once the clay is in the middle of the wheel, the right water has been applied and it is centered correctly, and the position is centered correctly and in position, the wheel begin to turn. The wheel has to move slow. This is how God is patient with us. Everyone that's listening to this or may listen on the internet, where you are is where you at, but it has nothing to do with where you're going. God has never left you, even though you may feel like he did. God say, I haven't left you, you left me, but I'm waiting right here for you with open arms. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You see, the potter is using his hand to mold the clay into its intended purpose. You see what God told Jeremiah in the first chapter? But while you was in the womb, I ordained this. Come on now, y'all. But if he told that to Jeremiah, that's the same thing he's telling you. Nothing you could do could take God by surprise, and God does not make no mistake. You see, this when the wheel is moving slow and steady, it turns. This is how God is patient with us. The potter is using his hand. So what they're saying, God is saying, God sent him to the potter house. God say he's the potter and we the clay. So if I say right here the potter is using his hand, what I'm saying, God's hands are upon you. And he's using his hand to mold you into his intended purpose for your life. You see, if the wheel turns too fast, the lump of clay will tear completely apart before it can make it to the finish line. See, that's why plenty of times people say, please be patient with me because God is not through with me yet. God know everybody wouldn't get it at the same pace. They wouldn't be as strong as everybody. But God made you unique. He's not asking you to be a T.D. Jakes. You know, he's not asking you to be, you know, any other one of them. He just wants you to be you. Because once you begin to understand who you are, that's the product that God made for you. And everyone is important. And God has no respect to persons. There's no big eyes and no little you. So don't despise your small beginnings. Because that's just where God a sign for you to be. And it's full and it's enough, but you got to understand it. You see, the same way, the sanctification process is a lifelong process because we are being sanctified daily. So don't get despaired where you're at because you got the rest of your life to get to where you want to be in God. But you got to start the process. You got to put in the work to make the end the intended purpose. You know, the Bible said a race is not given to the swift and will end when we die or Jesus return, whichever come first. We have to be patient with the Lord on how he wants to work and build our lives in him. In our fast-paced, self-centered world, we are used to everything instant. But in God's realm, he usually works things out at a much slower time frame than we are used to. Be patient. Trust him. Because trusting God allows you to wait. Because you know that he knows best. And if you do not learn how to go with his slower flow time frame, you could end up getting very frustrated and impatient and then eventually end up losing out. We all need the patience of the Holy Ghost operating in us to help keep us. And I come to tell you tonight, faith is what produces steadfastness, the ability to hold on to the confession of your faith, the ability to wait until your change comes, the ability to say, God, not my will, but your will. That's faith. And if you're not building up your faith, then you got little faith, then you're going to have little results. You see, once the lump of clay is spinning on the wheel at the right pace and the potter takes his hands and push it down on the top of clay, on the top of the clay to create an opening in it. Hallelujah. Once this opening has been made at the top of the clay, the potter hands goes down in the middle of it as it is forming out, and he then uses his hand to properly shape the piece of clay as it builds up during the spinning process on the wheel. What is this saying? God is letting us know, hallelujah, he is the one who is doing the work. That should give you rest in your spirit right now. Get in position with God as asked you to be in and allow him to do the work. You see, his hands are working on both our inside and outside while molding, shaping, and transforming up us for his glory. The scripture says it is God that worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasure. That's enough to shout on. It's not predicated on you. He knew you couldn't do anything in and of yourself. That's why he sent his son to take away the sins. And yes, Jesus took away the sins of the world. But you see, if you decide to do it how you want, when you want, why you want, if you want, you have to live with the consequences. In the same way, God's own hands literally goes down deep into the middle of our soul and spirit where the intersanctification work is actually done. God is changing us on the inside and working on us on the outside to mold and transform us into our expected end. We must learn to cooperate with the work of the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost is the one leading and guiding you and giving you revelation and telling you no and then telling you yes. He is telling you the things that God had put in his master plan to get you to your expected end. And the Holy Ghost is leading you and guiding you in that direction. You know, sometimes people say, oh, something told me don't do that. Something told me this. It ain't no something. It's the person of the Holy Spirit, the third person in a Trinity. It's God's Spirit. Jesus said when he would go back into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, he wouldn't leave us comfortless, and he left his Holy Spirit. And he said, everything that I would have done for you guys if I was still there, he said, a Holy Ghost is going to do it. So you need to respect the Holy Ghost. You need to listen to the Holy Ghost. You need to speak to the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost speak to you. You see, since God is doing all of the supernatural work on the inside of us, it can become rather painful and unpleasant at times. Come on now, y'all. Since he will be removing all of the bad and negative qualities that he will not want us to have, and adding good qualities that he would hope that we would have. See, he's working in and out of you, in and through you. You see, a good amount of pressure has to be applied. And some people don't like pressure. Remember, no pain, no gain. See, removing toxic qualities such as pride, ignorance, bad temper, lust, all can be very painful due to the fact that the flesh want to keep all of these negative qualities operating in your life. And that's driven by Satan. You know, some things we have to give up and should give up. You know, we say it's too hard. But no pain, no gain. You see, the potter knows what he wants the finished product to be. God knows our intended purpose before the foundation of the world. Y'all know I say that all the time. And one of the scriptures I use, I'm going to use it again tonight, which is Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And when we realize that, we can truly say, not our will, God, but your will. And we could say, I'm going to throw in the towel. It's my all, God, for your all. How you want every God's all and you won't give him a piece of you? You won't give him a piece of you when it's convenient. If God came to us when it was convenient, where do you think we'll be? You see, the potter cannot stretch the clay beyond his limits. If he does, the clay will tear apart and be completely destroyed. In the same way with the Lord, though we are to press on and go as far as God will take us in this life, but he will take us as far in our specific calling in him. And we have to realize that there are another side to the two-sided coin. We have to make sure that we do not stretch beyond God calling and that what he has called for us to do, or stretch into positions that he does not want us in. God knows what each one of us are capable of doing. And he has never asked us to perform something that he knows that we are incapable of doing. You see, the potter has to keep his eye on the clay, and God's eyes are always on his children. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God is a good potter. Can you learn to be the clay? You see, after that, the potter then takes a knife and cut off all the excessive clay that has accumulated around the pot as he was molding it on the spinning wheel. He is circumcising. That's an illustration of how he is circumcising our heart. You know, in the Old Testament, they circumcised man, but Jesus came and said that circumcision was made with hands of man. He said, but the new circumcision is going to be made with the hands of God. And this is a good little spot right here where I could see it being manifested and analogous making sense. Because he said he goes all the way in the inside, which is where your heart is, and he take away everything unnecessary for you to live a righteous life. You see, he is circumcising our heart, removing the fleshly things and smoothing out the rough edges. Will you let him? In the same way God is always pruning us by arranging and rearranging it and rearranging us so that we can handle the next matters in our lives. God is right there on the spot working it out for your good. You see, after the pottery is completely dry, come on now, y'all, watch this. It is ready to be fired. Y'all know how when they make that pottery and stuff like that, they have to put it in the oven. But when it's completely dry, you see, some people, if you jump in a fire before you, you know, if a pot is placed in a fire before it's completely dry, it's going to crack because of the moisture. And some people believe they're ready to go into the fire. And God sometimes tell them, no, you're not ready. Because he knows best. You see, this initial firing removed the water so that the piece can be glazed without returning to mud and breaking. You see, once we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we were glazed with his blood. And we were sealed by the Holy Spirit to be kept and helped. Never to turn back to our old nature. All, you know, anyone that's listening, if you're a Christian, they say the Bible tell you you're a new creature. Old things pass away and behold, all things are new. It's so amazing that God has given us a new life. And sometime, and some people, and they pick things out of their old nature. You got a new nature, but you're still holding on to the old nature. You see, after the second firing, the pot is ready for use. God said we will be tried. This is scripture, y'all. God said we will be tried in the fire, but we will come out as pure gold. You see, that's what he's talking about. You see, the fire is our trials and tribulation that God uses to get us into a mature position, and sometimes is only a test. He does this to get us ready for use. And it had two other scriptures that I posted, the fifth and the sixth. It said, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? That's what God say. He say, now you done saw what a potter do. You done saw how I take it from the beginning to the end. And then it set it out to be used. And when all that's done, Jesus come and collect it. He say, O Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, said the Lord. Now, that's God speaking in the Old Testament. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. So if you never knew that, you're in the hand of God. And it's so loving that God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house so that he could get an illustration. And he could work it as an analogy, placing things side by side. You know, the potter is God, the clay is us, the wheel, the water, that he could truly understand it. You see, as the potter molds or shapes a clay pot on the potter's wheel, you know, sometimes defects appear. The potter has the power to do it over, or to permit the defect to remain, or he can reshape the pot. Likewise, God has the power to reshape us to conform to his purposes, because God is truly in control. And as I close, I want you to let y'all know our strategy should not to become mindless and passive, you know, that which is one of the aspects of clay, but be willingly and receptive to God's impact on our lives. As we yield to, he begins shaping us into a valuable vessel that has use. Everything that the potter make has a use. He make pots and plates and vases, and they have a specific use. God say, I want to be the potter, and I want to make you out of a beautiful vessel that has purpose, and I can use you. So I said, let Jesus fix it for you. He knows just what to do. Whenever you pray, let him be the potter and you become the clay. And I guarantee you that he will fix it for you. You see, each piece of pottery is handmade and unique. There are not two of you. What God has for you is for you. It was his will way before the foundation of the world. And in his master plan, he included you. He decided what you would do and what you would not be able to do. And it was all predicated on you accepting Jesus, not only as your Savior, but your Lord and Savior. Jeremiah was very disturbed because he never could see a change in the people. So one thing that lets us know, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. It's an individual thing. And you have to decide what part you want to play. You have to try to find out what God wants you to do and do it. So we learned tonight that God is the potter and we are his clay. I hope this message blessed someone. As always at this time, we have a little time for feedback, encouragement. If someone want to pray, someone want to sing, you could press the one button on your phone right now, and I'll open the mic for you. No one out there need prayer. No one have a praise report. I have a caller. Your number is 504-355-62. Your mic is open.
Yes, good afternoon. This is Diane. This is Kathy Foxworth, and I just want to say hi to you and your audience, and I want to thank you for the message about the title, because even through my years of Bible studying, I've never studied that part of the Bible, so I appreciate that, and I want to thank you and the Lord for giving you the strength and the knowledge to deliver the message for us tonight and every other night that you do so. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Kathy Foxright. Thank you for calling in. Kathy has been with me on Wednesday night for several years, and I thank God for her, and I pray that the information that I give, that the Holy Ghost would illuminate it and revelate it so she could grow stronger in her with her relationship with God. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to learn a word to get a PhD or anything like that. We want to know God. We want to know what God thinks about us, and we want to know what he has done and he's doing and he promised to do. And the only way you can get that is by exploring the word of God. So thank you, Sister Kathy First Foxworth. And you know I love you, and I always will.
Thank you very much.
Is there any other callers would like to say anything? Ask for prayer? Give a praise report? Say anything about the lesson? Well, okay, I got another call of 504-237-6000. Your mic is open. You can speak.
Yes, thank you, Diane, for the word. I just want to ask for prayer. And thank you for the lesson. And it was very good. Thank you.
And who is this?
Miss Sandra.
Okay. Well, we'll include your name in a closing prayer. Thank you for calling in. Sandra is one. We meet together on Monday nights for Monday night Bible study, and she's a very faithful person. And I thank God for you, Sandra. You know,
thanks.
I thank God for what he's doing in your life, and I thank you for how he's directing you, and I thank you for, you know, how you're growing so strong in the Lord, which is our purpose. So you be blessed, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Do we have any other person? If anyone would like to lead us out in prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. And if not, it's 928, and I'll go ahead and pray and give a benediction. And if the Lord say the same, we'll meet back next week at the same time. And the topic of our lesson, I don't really have a topic, but I know the subject is going to be miracles. And the question I guess I would ask, is God still doing miracles today? So that's what we'll be talking about on next week. So I'm going to go ahead and close with a prayer. And we'll go ahead and end tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, Lord, I thank you for putting analogies in your Bible that we can take and read them and understand what you're trying to tell us. I thank you for your prophet Jeremiah that preached your word for 40 years. I thank you for choosing him before he was in his mother's womb. So that lets us know, dear God, that you're doing the same thing. I did the same thing with us. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your wisdom. I thank you for your son. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, dear God, for allowing us this opportunity to meet on Wednesday, because we're living in trying times. And, you know, plenty of people believe this the last day. But I am so thankful that God will come back fine us being committed every Wednesday night to Words of Wisdom Bible Study. Lord, I thank you that you gave us this forum and you have allowed us to continue to do it week after week, month after month, year after year. Lord, I thank you and I praise your holy name because you're worthy. Lord, Sister Sandra called and asked for prayer, dear God. Lord, I'm asking that you give her the blessings that she's in need of. I ask that you guide her in the way that you would want her to go. And whatever she's asking you for, God, if it's your will, I know it's going to be done because that's what you said in your word. But you let her know, dear God, tonight that she's in your hand. And you're going to do everything that's necessary to get her to expect it in. You told us in a word that, you know, we will have trials and tribulations and even tests. But that's to get us so that we could properly be in position to be used. Lord, I thank you. Bless our dear God. And bless everyone else, dear God, that may need prayer and then ask for it. God, because in your word you say you are a healer, a way maker, you're a deliverer in a time of storm. You're the rock of all ages. Hallelujah. Teach us, dear God, how to hold on to the confession of our faith. Lord, you say we may stumble, but we're not going to fall. Lord, and you say if we fall, you're there right there to pick us up. And I believe it. Have mercy upon all of us, dear God, and allow your grace, which is sufficient, to abound around us. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. That's our lesson for tonight. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll be back on next week. So start looking up miracles. Start thinking about miracles. So when we get to the lesson next week, you're going to be right in the place. So each and every one of you guys, be blessed. And God's blessings be on you until we meet again. Amen and thank God.